For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What was the length of the podcast? 55 minutes? That's 18 minutes longer than the amount of wins your team contributed to the NBA this season.
Dude.
What's up, folks? It's a Don't Stop, Get It edition of Hitting the High Notes Jazz Talk. It is I'm here. The voice, the disembodied voice is at Who Transcript Man. Just go follow because the podcast account is back. It's a different account. I need more followers. Go to at Jazz High Notes, the number two. That's at Jazz High Notes, number two. We're back. We're better than
number
ever.
Number two for who?
Number two. The other disembodied voice, he's back. He went the distance 49. He barkers and buses. It is Jared Barker. What's up, man?
Hey, pretty good, man. How are you?
Yeah, doing well.
Do we want to talk about our friends right now? Or what
yeah,
do you wanna,
like you,
wanna...
got, you got that up, but we'll bring him up in just a second.
We got. But of course, unless there's an updated version of the copy. That you
I don't think there's an updated version. I read an old
version.
But
BetOnline is number one.
Wait, number one source. We got Gets It. Justin, what's up, Gets It?
Utah Jazz.
Dragon Squatch is on vacation, sipping margaritas by Cabana, just being pampered. So we have to bring some anger onto the podcast. And Gets It, you are. If you don't know, go follow Gets It on Jazz Twitter because he's very passionate about the Jazz.
He's an RB. He's behind the beef. Him and Logan are co-founders of the Beef Nation.
Yes. Yeah, here's the good news. Even though Logan is absent today, you still have a podcast based on my appearance that is brought to you by Roast Beef.
Brought to you by Roast Beef. If you also want gambling advice, I don't know if Gets is the best source. But
he does.
Yeah, but BetOnline is.
Yes.
Bad advice.
But he does.
BetOnline is
but,
number one.
His number one. He can go on to our sponsor of the Hitting the High Notes, BetOnline. AG, Jared, tell them about BetOnline, AG.
Well, the BetOnline, they are your number one source for all your championship finals info, stats, news, and scores, guys. You can get the latest odds and lines and the latest matchup reports for this year's NBA and Stanley Cup late finals.
I'd like to bet.
There is still MLB going on right now, so that's available every day. BetOnline is your sports intel headquarters this season, and they've got you covered for all your insider sports wagering needs. Basketball, hockey, MLB, UFC, boxing. That stuff is all season, baby. The fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games that are available to play right at home. So get into the action today. Head to the website or use your mobile device to join and be sure to use our promo code BELEAV, that's BLEAV, to receive your 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet online.
Wow, a 50%
where the
bonus.
Game starts.
Boom, baby.
He did it. That's synergy. Gets It. What is your favorite casino or card game?
Yeah, I was about to interject a little bit earlier and actually see if I could get in on the juice a little bit and see if I could be sponsored personally by the MGM Grand, where I'm excited to be making my maiden voyage this summer for NBA Summer League and more.
Nice.
As well as the unofficial Manila equivalent of Las Vegas. Stayed at the MGM Grand, but I have visited there. And it seems like every time I get off the elevator, I immediately run into approximately 7 of my aunties.
That's amazing.
Yes, like, it seems like an Asian. I know for Vietnamese, like, I go to Vegas, I'm like, oh, I can understand half the people here because they're speaking Vietnamese. They do love
gambling.
And
it's also, it's very much also like the Madison Square Garden of Manny Pacquiao's finest domestic moments.
Oh, okay.
It's got everything you need. But in the past, I have stayed at Flamingo, which is, I love it because they have a lot of new rooms, the location, obviously, the centralization to the strip. So that really offers you the gateway to go across the street to Cesar Palace, the Bellagio fountains. You're right next door to Cromwell if you want to party up. You're right next door to the Link if you need to indulge in the various things they offer there, some good breakfast haunts. And then you're also right next door to that to the walkway and the massive Ferris wheel, in and out. So a lot of choices about if you stay at Flamingo. And then last summer, I took a more southerly route and found myself at the Luxor for the first time ever. And while the Luxor has seen its fine share of years, not a bad locale as well.
Looks like I can get some pretty cheap rooms on Monday through Wednesday at Summer League.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and
I'm just Twitter
follows.
Hey, go ahead.
The guy who has the down low, the real handle you want to follow on Twitter, Laird Dolman, who knows all things Vegas, gambling, handicapping, tourism, food, all that stuff. He gave me the down low a couple of years ago and suggested I stay at the Tuscany Suites, which is just to the east of the Strip. But, you know, if you're in good shape, just a skip and a hop, no big deal at all. And that gives you plenty of real estate to kick back and relax for a very nice ROI.
All right, what do you guys think?
The local pharmacist, RX Mike 12, which if he's not a listener of the pod, he should become one. Mm-hmm. He was a big fan of that other podcast.
July 10th through July 12th, that's the Monday through Wednesday of Summer League. I can get a $15 room from Rio, a $31 room from the Link,
$15
or $41 from Harrow. Yeah, like I'm a member. I'm a players member, guys. So
you're a member of the Players Club.
The Players Club.
Wow.
So that's Summer League coming
up. Do you sing the anthem then? I want to hear it.
Do I sing the anthem?
Players Club anthem, yeah. Baby.
But
you and Tim Meadows, dynamic duo.
Speaking of Summer League, we were gonna have Jazz Jargon on here to so I can dunk on his takes. Unfortunately, he's not gonna be able to make it. So unfortunately, that means
he was too afraid of the of you dunking on him.
Yeah,
Bruno.
Oh no, he's got kids apparently. So Bruno Stardust is gonna have to defend him or attack him. It's up to him. So we're talking about Summer League.
I don't know if I should be divulging this critical hidden news, but I will be in attendance at Summer League on opening day, which is a bit of a new experience for me. I've been to Summer League now 3 times in the last 5 years, COVID notwithstanding. And I tend to go, I think I've kind of got a little dip of everything. The first time I ever went to Summer League, I caught a Saturday morning game between the Utah Jazz and the Portland Trailblazers, in which Zach Collins mixed it up with a Utah Jazz bench warmer whose image is actually not coming to mind, but it was a fun experience. And the most recent time I went to Summer League was actually on the tail end, which is an interesting look as well. But I will be attending on opening day, which I expect to be just an absolute zoo at Thomas and Mack and the adjacent Cox Pavilion.
Honestly, I haven't even been paying attention to the dates for Summer League this year. Is it like the first weekend in July?
No, the first weekend of July is Salt Lake Summer League, July 3rd. 5th and 6th is Salt Lake Summer League. July 7th, gotcha. So the day after Salt Lake Summer League is Vegas Summer League. So,
I got you.
Or more unaffectionately known as the 6th anniversary of Gordon Hayward screwing up our barbecues.
This.
Yeah, I mean, your guys' barbecues, speak for yourselves.
I love having a barbecue.
Well, I detect a lack of passion.
It was more. I was not angry at Gordon Hayward. I was more angry at
the system. Waited for him.
Well, no, the system of like losing your best player and just no way of getting back. Anyway, so that's a whole different.
Well, that's very much on brand for you, Hugh.
Yes. So yeah, we have the draft coming up in less than a week now. We're recording on a Friday. Draft will be on Thursday. Gets it. So like, what we're really here to talk about? Because like, I mean, there's some names that you like. I've seen you talk to a lot of people out there. I think so. I hope so. If not, these Jazz Dragon takes are gonna not age well here.
Is why you were supposed to have Jazz Jargon on today. I was just here to offer critical and sarcastic responses to all of his useful suggestions.
I'll do my best. Jared and I talked a week ago about there's not many names that I'm really into. I mean, Jared, has any other names popped out to you? Like, okay, this is the guy I'm really focusing on, zoned in on.
One thing that did intrigue me, because I listened to the Low Post this week with Bobby Marks and, who's the draft guy? Jonathan Givony. Givony.
Giovanni?
The guy they bought, Giovanni, that they got from Draft Express.
I don't want to draft Giovanni Bernard in the 2023 NBA draft, by the way.
Yeah, no. We're not talking about NFL. Come on. That was for the Bet Online, You talk about NFL during the Bet Online.
Is it time for another read already? Because I would like to know, can Bet Online, who's an avid sponsor of Hitting the High Notes podcast, by the way, provide me with, a prop on if Jordan Love, in his first full season as the number one quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, could, throw for approximately 3,814 yards.
They do have some interesting touchdowns on there.
Over-under of possibly 16 interceptions. Let's make it 16 and a half interceptions.
Interesting prop bets on there. Robot Shane could tell you a lot.
I'm looking at it right now, and it says they don't have those ones, but they do have over-under flat earth mentions by Jordan Love. So that will be interesting.
My apologies. This advertisement really went off the cliff.
Utah State legend Jordan Love. So Jared, any names that really like at number nine? We're talking about number nine right now, because 16-28, but number nine. You're talking about you're listening to the Low Post. Who did they mention?
Yeah, they were talking about Cody Bufkin again because apparently he's been refusing workouts from like every single team. And it sounds like there's some agent maneuvering going on and some they're trying to keep certain things under wraps because a lot of people were impressed by certain things that he was doing. And either somebody is lying about the fact that they've given him a promise and they actually got a private workout. So it's like he is a name that almost became more intriguing because of all the espionage or whatever you want to call it, political gerrymandering of his draft.
I did not sign up for this podcast. It's politics.
Who knew that?
The gerrymandering of his draft position.
Who knew that hitting the high notes would be so influential that we moved him up from 18 mock drafts.
We spoke about him last week. Right?
Up to the top 10 pick. And again, it was purely theoretical. I picked the name out of a hat. And so it's kind of funny that his name has really surfaced a lot more in the aggregate, but
Ty Corbin is his agent. He's making a playoff push.
Justin. So I don't know if you saw this from Jazz Jargon online, because we talk about promises. Because Jazz Jargon tweeted out something like, "Oh, I hate teams giving promises because."
Oh, I thought that was an interesting take. I thought he was right about that.
He says that, if you give a promise to a prospect, then you have to take him. If someone falls and you can't take them, yada yada yada. What is your take on that? Giving a prospect a promise, pros and cons.
Pros: job security, two, clarity, three. I think it's actually a pro for other teams because it allows them to cross them off their list. However, if the promise is a smokescreen, which you could probably throw into both the pro and the con basket, I think it gives you less I think it eliminates for the teams that might be interested in that player. So I guess probably one of the most prominent examples for the Jazz would be Cam Whitmore. So let's say Cam Whitmore allegedly receives a promise from a top five team. For the Jazz, that means they probably don't need to give up any extra assets unless they're still at that point interested in one of the Twins, perhaps. But it seems like there's a lot of permutations taking place online. And to me, it's all noise. None of us are on these phone calls. We're all just following 17 different mock draft iterations by websites, which are trying to attract clicks and advertisements and those sorts of things. But depending on what you believe and what you think, the promises are interesting because I think it also benefits the athlete because they can kind of close up shop and feel that sense of clarity. And,
I agree with you on that. I feel like the athlete, if the athlete feels like, hey, I want to be getting starter minutes, I'm okay with if we're a little bit on the bad side. I want to get starter minutes so I can grow my game and develop and figure out what I'm doing wrong on the fly. And that's why they were saying Cody Bufkin is intriguing for the Jazz, I think. They mentioned another name. I think they said a large guard who is like 6'5".
Today, the hot name has been his fellow Big Ten guard, Jalen Hood-Schifino out of Indiana.
Yeah, I don't know about him. Honestly, I don't know. Honestly, I don't watch a lot of film because I feel like a lot of times when you watch film, unless you're watching full games, you're watching highlights, and that's a problem.
Right.
Because I don't want highlights. I want lowlights. I want to know what they do badly that will get exposed at the NBA level.
So Jerry, real quick. So Jerry, you just said you agree that you don't like the idea of giving a promise to a prospect.
Yeah, I'm not a real fan of that because I feel like it really limits you. And the take, I guess, Giovanni had on, because I just could have sworn that Zach Lowe doesn't call him Giovanni, but whatever.
I don't know. I don't know. I said it and I was like, I don't know if that's right or not. So
anyway,
it could be Giovanni.
He said something similar. He's like, well, I think what you do is even if you make the promise, if you think there's a chance that you got somebody better, you burn the agent and say, hey, we'll get you next time. We're going to come back around to you and figure something out, because he said that basically, ultimately, you have to look at what's best for the organization and the team. So I was like, okay, that's interesting because giving promises willy-nilly like that seems really.
Yeah. I understand the concept from the franchise, the team concept is, okay, cool. We want, we don't want Cody Bufkin. We actually really like him, and we don't want other teams getting a look at him. It happened with Donovan Mitchell and the Jazz, right? Donovan Mitchell took a workout with the Jazz that wasn't supposed to happen, really. Like, it was just sort of a tryout workout. And the Jazz got a good look, and they're like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Like, this is somebody that we really like. You don't want other teams to – because, the other teams could try to jump you. The other teams could like him just as much or more and go for it and take the prospect that you like. And this comes down to what we talked about on our draft podcast, the one we didn't know anything about. But we talked about, if you really like a guy, you go get him. And you really hope that you don't have a lot of competition from other people. But
yeah, because then they could try to make you give up more compensation.
So you're over a barrel because
you want him.
I think the pro here is, if you tell a player, hey, we really like you, actually, please, it happened with somebody today. So they said the Pacers, they were going to go work for the Pacers, and then they said, nope, we're done, right? And so either the Pacers, somebody above the Pacers or the Pacers liked them enough saying, okay, don't go to the Jazz because we don't want the Jazz to jump up to number six and try to take you. I think there's some benefits. There are downsides. But the downside that Jazz Jargon gave was if somebody falls, but you've already made a promise to somebody, you don't want to take them, and you could. But this gets into the whole fantasy football drafting versus an NBA real life draft, where assuming that you've gotten both guys in, or maybe if you haven't got the other guy in, if someone starts to fall, that tells me, as a scout or a GM, where I'm thinking, oh, that's weird, this guy's falling. There might
why
be a reason.
Falling?
Yeah, why is he falling? Yeah. Like, I'm a, if somebody got four, pass on
Vontae Mack, no matter what.
Yeah.
And we need a sequel. We need the sequel to know if actually his draft picks worked.
And so, like, if these guys start to fall, like, I mean, there might be a reason. I mean, there's a reason that what's his face fell from Ohio State, the Jazz drafted him. Costa Kufis? No. Yeah, anyway, is it Costa? Yeah. My memory.
That was a deep cut. that was 2008.
Kufos, right? Yeah. Oh man.
So anyway, if someone starts dropping, like, and you haven't done your due diligence on them, there's a risk taking that guy anyway. Like, if Amon Thompson just fell, you're like, okay, we like him, but we don't know. But if you've done your homework on Kobe Bufkin, and this is a guy that you really like, yeah, it is like draft day. Like, it is Vontae Mack. Like, this is the guy you want. It doesn't matter, you know, unless like
this is like a sort of a Jalen Tatum to a lesser extent scenario, because you're like, you're trading, or not, you're not trading, but you're, instead of going trying to go up for somebody or whatever, you're just like, okay, we're hoping this guy falls to us and nobody else figures out that he's as good as we think.
Oh, or you just know the guy, like, you have them in, like, you know what you look for, you like, you know what you're looking for in a player. And the guy checks all the boxes. Whether it doesn't even have to be like athleticism, you know, what they do on the court. It could be off the court. There's a lot of factors that go into it. So, even if somebody fell, like if someone had fallen three or four or five, like if Cam Whitmore fell four or five spots, if you like him, yeah, you can take him there. But if you just like the other guy more, and you know this guy's falling, there's no reason that you wouldn't want to take the guy that you've already done the due diligence on, right? So it's different than fantasy football drafting, because I think a lot of us take that mentality in, and you know me, I talk about tiers all the time, like how I tier players. I don't want my NBA franchise, my GM, my scouts to have that same mentality when it comes to NBA draft.
I want because they have more information.
Yes,
right?
I want them to go in there and like these, you know, maybe there isn't a guy, but if there's a guy that they really like, I want them to be their number one guy. Mark it down. And don't be like, well, if we miss on hit this guy, well, these next three are probably good enough. That might be the case. But I think, with all the information, all the work that you put in, I want them to delineate between these guys, because it's the NBA draft. Like, this is a decision that will affect your franchise, you know, for the next decade.
Mm-hmm.
So just saying like, oh, well, these four guys are all the same, because it really isn't. Like, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh were not the same. They're all very good players.
Right.
And had different things, but they were all different and they all had different skill sets, and you want to draft the guy that you like the best. Right. And so I think a lot of times we take that fantasy football perspective in mind, because like, all right, well, if I miss on Najee Harris, I'll just get Jonathan Taylor. If I miss on Jonathan Taylor, I'll just go get so-and-so. If I miss, I'll go get A.J. Brown, right? Like, we all take that fantasy football mindset into NBA drafting. But that's because the game is different. The information is different. A fantasy football draft is 1 year. If you mess up, okay, you just start next year. If you mess up in the NBA draft, you know, that could set you back, you know, the next 7 years. Like, you might miss on Giannis. You might miss on Jason Tatum. So, you want to make sure that you know your guys. Justin, what do you think?
So I think some more of the pros of, you know, giving that promise, you're the team that's kind of dictating what happens. You're setting the market. Because if you're Indiana, and God willing, it's established that you want Grady Dick, he's the perfect fit for your team. Whether that's the best pick or not, that kind of forces the other teams to react and kind of hustle around and figure out what they're going to do. And then if there's someone you really like, let's say Detroit is just laser focused on Cam Whitmore. He's the missing piece for the Detroit Pistons. You lock in Cam Whitmore, that immediately establishes a relationship of trust between the team and Cam Whitmore. You're able to start planning ahead. And then the other thing it allows you to do is, once you know you're going to have Cam Whitmore locked in, you can focus your energies on other scenarios. So that gives you one less thing to worry about, but it's the biggest thing. It's the most significant aspect of the draft. So you can either figure out what other assets do I want to move? Do I trade back into the first round? Do I trade away a draft pick I don't think I need? You have all these other opportunities and permutations and phone calls you can make to try to augment your roster based on what you already have with that big time draft pick locked in already. obviously the cons, I think you guys have touched upon it a little bit. It removes your leverage and your flexibility. So if you make a promise and you want Grady Dick, and let's say there's someone you didn't think was going to be available, like, I don't think it's going to be actually happening, but let's say for whatever act of God, Brandon Miller magically falls to 7. Well, now your hands are tied because you got to take Brandon Miller instead of Grady Dick. So you're going to have egg on your face. And if you pissed off Grady Dick's agent and his family, and that's probably going to reflect negatively on your franchise, even though, you know, you're going to have the best case scenario, Tyrese Halliburton, Ben Mathurin, and Brandon Miller, just a trio to die for. But again, it makes you look bad if you had an established agreement with somebody else already. And then the final thing is with the cons, if word gets out, I think nowadays with how avidly so many people within the media, within the blogosphere, and then these people, these freaks like us on Twitter, who are tracking this stuff with the eyes of hawks, we can put two and two together and figure out who you're going to be guaranteeing if it's established that a team is guaranteed something, especially we can see these players going to different markets practicing, and then within 24 hours, oh, suddenly they got a promise. That paper trail is not very far to follow. So, in effect, you're showing your hand if the promise is made. So, I think nowadays it's, you know, a good business practice on one hand. If you know what you like, you don't want to screw around. You want to set your future in motion and nail it down. But at the same time, you're removing that flexibility and wiggle room. We're in a draft with so much talent and so many combinations and permutations. I mean, every single mock draft looks different. So obviously we have a general like zone of, if you're picking 9, there's these 5 guys you think are going to be available or that you would desire. And, you know, on average, 2 to 3 of them are probably going to be available. 2 will be taken by teams above you, but you're just really limiting your flexibility nowadays, particularly in this draft, perhaps, if you make that promise now.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of promises in general within walks of life. Even Michael Jordan said he doesn't make promises to his then wife, but we will win game 7 back in 1998 against the Indiana Pacers. But I think it's a good business practice if there's something you really want. Like, I don't think we're telling any tall tales if it pops up in the next 72 hours that the Charlotte Hornets have suddenly made a promise to a player. I think we can put 2 and 2 together there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's interesting because, I mean, you mentioned like all the drafts, mock drafts are looking different, which kind of tells me, I mean, part of it is, like, you know, like I work for the media. This is probably the first year where the Jazz have been very tight-lipped about who they're having in. Like, they're not even announcing what draft picks they're having in a
which
year.
Which I'm pumped about, by the way.
Yes. As a media, member of the media, hate it, because that is content that I would love to get out for my job. As a fan who likes to, like, you know, kind of hear things, you know, I'm on Jazz Twitter. I'm upset because, like, oh, you're taking information away from me. But as a fan of a franchise that I want to win championships, I don't hate the idea of secrecy. I don't hate the idea of holding the information and not letting anything out, because it's not just the Jazz. There's actually plenty of teams who are really holding all this information in. So it's sort of a trend, like we might be trending towards that. But it does give you advantage. Like, if you're playing poker, you're playing the odds, right? If you're playing the odds of, like, someone dropping and you promising somebody else, like, what are the odds that somebody that we really like drops and we've already made a promise to somebody, it might be low. And so you make that promise because the risk of pissing somebody off is not as much as the risk of somebody dropping and falling into your lap. By holding your card, like, this is, you know, a poker analogy, by not showing your cards, you know, you're keeping a lot of, you know, not just media members guessing, but other teams are guessing.
Yeah, your poker face, your poker face.
And further, furthermore, within the theory of or the concept of promises, I think it's a lot more relevant to teams that are going to be picking in the top five, teams that will be picking ahead of the Utah Jazz versus the Jazz themselves, presuming they're going to be picking from the ninth spot on draft night, which seems to be more up in the air than ever, just based on the noise, always mock drafts, people tweeting about this and that. But I think if you're in the top five, it's a lot more relevant of an idea to offer a promise because you're going to have to pick up the litter. Whereas with the Jazz, you know, there's people just after Victor that they're licking their chops at. There's so many guys I'm interested that are going to go from like 10 to 25. I was looking at this list again today, and even though I don't know deeply intimately about the skills and personalities of these players, I was thinking to myself, gee, it would sure be nice to have, you know, five picks from 12 to 25, which isn't really the case every single year, but I don't know if it's exposure. I don't know if it's the potential quality of this draft, but it just seems like there's interesting, compelling pieces based on the Jazz's level of evolution where they need not only best player available, but you're trying to fill out the rotation with good, brimming young talent that you hopefully can be infusing into your rotation within the first month of the season in theory. But there's so much to pick from, and it would be fun to just bust open this proverbial pinata and grab as much as you can from that 10 to 25 range.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the hope. Like, again, you know, the Jazz are not showing their hand to, like, really try to – I mean, there's a famous, you know, the Tyus Thomas-LaMarcus Aldridge trade, right? The Bulls let it go that they really wanted Tyus Thomas. And what the Blazers do pick before them? Drafted Tyus Thomas. And they're like, I think they called the Bulls right up right after, like, hey, we got Thomas. If you want him, draft Aldridge and give us a pick, and we'll give you Thomas. You know, so there's nothing. Or I wouldn't say nothing, but I'm okay with the secrecy if I want my team to win a championship. It kind of
It's just good business strategy.
Yes, and I'm okay with that part of the
risk management.
So gets it, like, as we're talking, so for me, so here are my tiers of the draft list. It's tier number one is Victor, far and away, you know, tier number one. Tier number two is Scoot and Brandon Miller, and then tier three is literally everybody else. And my reasoning is that like, you know, we all assume Victor's going number one. Seems pretty obvious, not a shock. Number two and three, I think people have been bouncing back, but this has, you know, been for months now. People are like, all right, it's either going to be Scoot or Brandon. You know, part of it is fit, but I haven't really seen a lot of people going, okay, well, these guys are falling, you know, five, six. They're not falling. They're pretty much slated at, if you watch any mock draft, two or three. Okay, fair. But then after that, that's when it gets interesting because, like, you know, you've seen somewhere Amanda has fallen. You've seen somewhere where Cam Whitmore has fallen. So I'm like, you know what? If people who are making educated guesses are just kind of throwing these darts here and saying, you know, these guys might fall, that's my information, right? Like, that's the information that I have consumed. I haven't consumed anything else. My opinions are based off just like, all right, well, this is where the information is. If everybody else is kind of falling, then... So it's going to be hard for me to be, I guess, disappointed who the Jets pick at number nine. But, I mean, there's going to be some guys that are on the list that are going to disappoint you at number nine. And do any come out the top of your head there, Justin?
What was the end of that?
Oh, like, for me, it's going to be hard for me. Like, again, if the Jazz drafted Grady Dick at nine, I won't be disappointed because they're all in the same tier. But Grady Dick is somebody that I think that would really upset you.
I feel like he's a tier below what, Hendricks, and then who's the other guy I'm thinking of? Shoot, can't remember the other name. It's not Taylor.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out. I'm just trying to get Justin's list of, like, guys. He's like, oh God, I do not want these guys at nine.
I try to approach honing in on the right draft pick based on what did the Jazz need. And so right now, given the Jazz's, you know, the point in their evolution, whatever you want to call it, rebuilding, reloading, furnishing talent, it's the best player available. And I think I did not come up with a unique take here, but I think a lot of people you'll see talking on Twitter and on other platforms, it's not so much the concern of the position or the fit or how are they going to work next to Larry Markkanen or or Walker Kessler. Obviously, the Jazz need to reinvigorate their backcourt, but that doesn't mean they need to not pick a forward and specifically take a guard at nine. And so I think the question is, who's going to be the best player available, not only at the number nine spot, but at a spot that they might find themselves trading up or slightly down into? And the second part of that is, what's the best value at the position the Jazz are picking, and how can they exceed kind of that expected value? So it's like, you know, if you've got $200 and you can invest that on one share of, let's say, Nike. I know Nike's, I think, worth more than that right now. But what's like something you could invest $150 into instead and have it, you know, eventually soar in value to being worth $250 a share in 9 months? Mm-hmm. And so I think we're looking for that piece of talent. If it's available to the Jazz at nine, you just stay put at nine. Mm-hmm. But if it's available at five, then you do your darndest to trade up to five. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what's that player, regardless of position, age, pedigree, any of that stuff? We're just looking for the best piece of talent.
Right.
So, and so that could be Cam Whitmore.
Okay.
That could be Scoot Henderson. That could be, if we choose to stand pat, that could be Taylor Hendricks, depending on other points of view. That could be Jairus Walker.
Walker is the other name. Yeah.
Depending on how his stock is trading, maybe you trade down a couple spots and you settle for Cason Wallace as your first pick of the first round.
Now that's real interesting. Real quick, though. So Cason Wallace, right? So you're saying about trade down, right? I think this is another like fantasy football thing that permeates in our brains here.
Sure.
So Cason Wallace there at nine, right? And you think, okay, I can probably get him at 12 or 14. This comes down to being how risk adverse are you? Again, if you're a scout for the Jazz and you think Cason Wallace is that guy that will get you the best return on your money, why not just take him at nine?
I think that's a fair point.
If he's absolutely what you like and you're fully into him, then lock into Cason Wallace at nine and, you know, don't play chicken at all. Mm-hmm. And I respect that too, but it just comes down to who is the best player after all of this evaluation, mm-hmm. all this consideration. You've heard my thoughts on Twitter. You've seen my thoughts on Twitter. Mm-hmm. We cost ourselves some assets by winning an extra 5-6 games that we absolutely didn't need to. I know you and I have been finishing each other's sentences on that since, God, probably Thanksgiving.
I still have the screenshot of the first 10 games on my phone, so.
Yeah.
yeah, I
remember. You were so angry.
Yep,
I remember.
Did us real good, hashtag culture. And, you know, if Cam Whitmore is what you're going to want to have, you cost yourself your ability to potentially acquire Cam Whitmore. But because of those extra hashtag culture wins, you'll now need to probably trade up to obtain Cam Whitmore. But again, that's like where you're paying attention to this noise, these promises.
I just wish Jazz culture was as powerful as Heat culture, man. I wish Jazz culture was like Heat culture.
You know what Heat culture is?
Lumpia.
You know what Heat culture is?
Spoelstra and Jimmy Butler.
It's the greatest Filipino American export to ever exist and arrive on the American shores, combined with the Gordon Gekko of the NBA and Pat Riley.
Gordon Gekko.
And that is the essence of Heat culture right then and there. I love
the Wall Street reference. I love it.
So my last question for you gets at my last question for you, Jared. All right, so you know, we just talked about like the Jazz. They won too many games. I feel it, you feel it. It just almost feels like a waste of a year. But guess it, would you trade Lauri Markkanen's would you give up the year that he had? Would you say would you just rather him have a very just pedestrian year, like, you know, like he looks fine, but like, you know, take away the monster dunks, take away that 100 threes and whatever dunks thing he did.
Making an all-star game.
He didn't look anything like an all-star, like an all-NBA player. He looks okay. I'm trying to think of a comp of somebody. He looks like
Sabonis, maybe. Well,
he's modern day Tom Chambers.
Tom Chambers. That's good.
I don't know about, but like, no, but just like he had a very,
This is like a Danny Ainge type season. Julius Randle
had a good year. Just somebody who was in the middle of the pack.
I think I have thoughts on this. I actually think I have more thoughts on this current topic than I do the NBA draft.
Okay.
Because I've spent the last 24 hours thinking about it. So one of my favorite followers on Twitter is Nate Jones. Mm-hmm. He's kind of an NBA business guy.
So oh yeah. Jones on the NBA. He's great.
He's fascinating. He has a lot of unique, nuanced takes. He follows the league avidly. He's a business partner with Damian Lillard. He's moving and shaking
all over the NBA
landscape. But if you pay attention to him, he gives you a lot of tea leaves on the inner workings of the NBA. And
Damian Lillard, insoles, give us money.
therefore, I take what he says. I don't take everything he says 100% seriously, but I certainly pay attention when he has something to say. And last night, he said, random prediction, Lowry is going to be even better next season. And I think based on the last season, that's probably my biggest concern because what it costs the Jazz in the short term. Mm-hmm. And that potential cost is if Lowry just had the best season of his career and regresses next season, then it makes the 2022-23 season worthless.
Yeah, however, I agree with that.
If this is just the start of his ascent, then the 2022-23 season is a magical one and one that set the tone for the future to come. And if this is just the start of Lowry Markkanen playing good basketball, then I think the 22-23 season is actually it's a watershed moment of sorts, and it's not a fluke, and it's something that has worthwhile value because it's going to boost Lowry and the Jazz to bigger and greater things. And what you just said before, I think you were being a little bit glib, but I actually think you can't take away the 100-plus threes from Lowry Markkanen because that's just who he is. Mm-hmm. And I think the essence of Lowry Markkanen, he's entering his prime, but this is just what he is. He's a very good analytical basketball player. He takes the right shots. He can, on occasion, create his own shots, but he's a bastion of efficiency. He's a modern basketball player. He can hit the three. He can put the ball on the floor. He can finish at the rim, whether it's a dunk, a layup, or just a two-footer, but he gives you high-value shots. And I think those are actually, the more I think about it, I think those are really enduring qualities. The thing I'm probably more concerned about Lowry is just the wear and tear. He's going to have a really long summer coming off of a pretty long season. The Jazz didn't really tank, and they played him till the final moments of the season. So he really had like a valuable, spiritually a 75 games played season. I don't even know how many games he played off in reality off the top of my head, but it just felt like he got the wear and tear of a 75 per game season player. Now, he played last summer fully for Finland. Mm-hmm. He just did this really, military is military to me. And so he just had a really grueling, and I don't know what the Finnish military looks like if they just.
I mean, he might have.
They're mostly for pageantry.
He might have just had a desk job. So.
but he's still probably getting less sleep than I am. Like, he's got to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and clean the toilets and all that stuff, I'm assuming. And that's, it's grueling. Like,
I think he had the office
when you're playing
like the
basketball
thing.
Or. I still think it's bad on your neck in the end.
Right.
And I say that as a person in their mid 30s. But, anyways. I think it's going to be a long summer for Lowry, this military service coupled with the international travel. Mind you, he's going to be traveling to the motherland next month for the FIBA World Cup, and that's going to dovetail right into training camp in the following NBA season. And Walker Kessler is also another guy I want to keep an eye on now. Walker Kessler's probably a little bit fresher. He's, 21 years old or whatever.
Concerns about that, really. about
I don't
Walker.
Know who... But, the veterans, and I don't know where he's going to be playing next season, like Jordan Clarkson, for example, they're going to be coming off these very long concurrent off seasons. So I'm a little bit concerned about the wear and tear of Lowry Markkanen, and hopefully the Jazz can load manage him well next season and, give him a couple of breathers upon the holidays and then a couple of games, between New Year's Day and the All-Star break, hopefully. But the more I think about it, I think – it's less likely. My big worry about the Jazz wasting the season was if Lowry Markkanen was a one-hit wonder. Mm. And I think because of his skill set and how he shoots and his shot profile and his creativity and the way he can be a number one on certain nights, but also play off other guys, as long as you don't throw him on the back burner and say you're our fourth most important player. I think Lowry can be a long-term piece of what the Jazz are going to do. Best case scenario, trying to build a championship roster.
Yeah.
And therefore, I think this year is worthwhile. And also, I think we're not looking at the best season of Larry Markkanen's career being in the past, but hopefully still in the future.
Yeah, that's the hard part for me. You know, I've asked this multiple times.
I think he was the voting was bad this season. Let's keep that in mind. Looking at things objectively, even though we are laser focused on the Utah Jazz and love our team, I think Larry, if you look at his peers in the league, he was legitimately like an all NBA 13 forward this season.
I think so. I was shocked when he was not announced as a third teamer. And you know, it is what it
I
is.
Wasn't because the guy who beat him out's in the number one market in the NBA.
That is true. And you know, so like, it gave me a modicum of confidence. What you know, Lowry did this year, and Walker, and even a little bit of Ochai. Do I think Walker or Ochai are anything more than high level starter / eighth man, respectively? Not really. I don't think Walker.
And honestly,
Kessler,
Ochai in particular,
uh-huh.
Ochai has already exceeded my wildest expectations.
that is something
very
that you
little
like,
from
yeah.
Ochai Agbaji, right. And so his rookie season alone, I already have higher hopes for him. Based on what he's been able to do, just because I thought he was a great college basketball player and not so much a great NBA player. So I'm very open-minded on Ochai Agbaji's future as well.
Okay. So that's where like, it's hard for me to say, man, I really wish the Jazz had a top three season, but if the cost of the top three draft pick, if that cost comes at the cost of, you know, Lowry, Walker, and Ochai, and all those guys, and all the and everything in the Utah Jazz is looking 10% worse. It probably is not worth it to me. So,
my philosophy is if those three young players you just mentioned, Lowry Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji, and Walker Kessler, if the seasons they just had are legitimate and foreboding to better seasons ahead, then this past Jazz season will not have been in vain, in my opinion.
And so, and that's probably right. I mean, Jared, I mean, any disagreements there?
I think Justin's pretty much, you know, I agree pretty much.
I mean,
with most of what he's saying.
Like,
so.
It is what it is. Like we. I mean, obviously, this is part of the Tank Note podcast. Like, we were all looking at the tank, and in the moments, those games that we won were not enjoyable. Well, for me. Not enjoyable. Seeing us beat the Nuggets. Seeing us beat.
This is the only time that the gets it cannot replace Logan because Logan like
yeah.
was winning.
Yeah. And Logan on the other end, hated watching the tanking. This actually turned out. This actually might like, you know, I kept saying, you know, we're gonna look back at this season as a lost season, as one of the worst seasons ever. And who knows? We might all look back at the season and everyone's gonna enjoy it for different reasons. And if you know, like as you just say, if Lowry takes the next step, if he does,
I
don't know if he will.
If he's able to find his own shot a little bit more, I think he becomes really
so. If
he becomes better than last year,
If the Jazz nail this draft, and they get one to two, really not just solid players, like players that you can dream to like. Okay, yeah, these are the next guys in the league. If the Jazz nail it, you know, at 9 or at 5 or 4, wherever they draft their players, if they can figure out how to draft the next, you know, talent in the NBA, and then, you know, like, hey, you have to get
lucky. if they can find one of the top three guys in this draft at 9, then I think the Jazz are in really good shape. Who knows?
Yeah, it takes a lot of luck, but you know, maybe it's time for the Jazz to get a little bit of luck. But we can all look back at the season all together and go, you know what? Actually, wasn't that bad a season. You know, they got lucky, they got unlucky, but then they got lucky in the draft. So it is what it is. But yeah, so gets it. You know, this guy here, getting laid, and he's enjoying the rainy weather in Oregon. Justin, when are you going to come back to Utah?
That's a good question. The problem is I'm coming back to Las Vegas first, and then I'm going to the Philippines. So, the PGO is pretty much exhausted at the moment. You know,
dude, you're attending the World Cup in person? That sounds awesome.
Yeah, breaking news. let my stalkers assemble.
It's him, it's, but him and Walker Kessler are going to hang out. So
all the women, the your shot, Justin. Justin is a single man, I do believe.
This is. I was told we were on a basketball podcast.
Yeah.
So, Justin and I, we know things. So,
you know things. You know things.
All right. So, Justin, I'm going to the Philippines, but it's a different. It's a different area code.
I'm going
so.
To kiss and tell is how I feel about Cam Whitmore versus the Thompson.
Gotcha. But Justin, it is a different area code, so go follow him at GetSit on the Twitterverse, so on the Blue Sky, on the Instagram, on the Truth Social.
Mastodon.
Well, thankfully, most of our listeners aren't in Portland, so he's safe, and most of our listeners aren't in the Philippines.
Yeah, so
I mean, maybe because we are a pro. Yeah. We are a pro Jordan Clarkson podcast.
We think
if we
get Jordan Clarkson on the podcast, then our Philippines numbers are going to skyrocket. So,
dude,
you know what?
Here's
the thing, and I can opine on this and rule on this, given my my similar amount of heritage to Eric Spolstra. Nice. Us, of course, being half Filipino, half European white guys. So Walker Kessler, by virtue of yesterday's news and given his inevitable enthusiasm for venturing through Manila, has already been declared as of 6:27 p.m. Eastern Time on June 16th, 2023, the year of our Lord, AD.
Danny Ainge.
Is not only an honorary, but a pseudo blood relative Filipino. He is a Filipino citizen.
Yo,
there you
Walker
go.
Kessler get it, Walker. There is the newest Filipino citizen, and I will allow him to have dual citizenship, so that he can also retain.
Dude,
critical American citizenship.
He needs to. So what he needs to do is he needs to tell the American team thanks but no thanks, and then go play with Gilas Filipinas and Jordan Clarkson.
That's extreme. I don't need him to relinquish his American citizenship. But what I'm saying,
Clarkson is still an American citizen, and he plays for Gilas. Yes.
What I'm saying is Walker Kessler is now officially my eighth cousin.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Go follow the
Barker. Not to be confused with Jalen Green of the current Houston Rockets.
Right.
Hashtag I want him to get traded to Utah, who is allegedly my fourth cousin.
Oh, there you go. The family tree. Yeah, the family tree.
So fun fact, my mother is actually from a province in Luzon, which is the big northern land of the Philippines. So my mother is from La Union, that province. And Jalen Green's, I believe, paternal grandfather is from Ilocos Sur, which, if I'm not mistaken, is just one or two provinces north of where my mom came from. So I guarantee we have similar blood. Anyways... he's going to be on the Jazz, and he's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's.
You heard it here first on Hitting the High Notes.
Yes.
Jalen Green, future member of the Utah
future
Jazz.
Jalen Green,
and
wow.
by the way, his godfather is none other than Utah Jazz, what was it, class of 2000 draft pick, DeSean Stevenson.
Oh.
DeSean Stevenson and Jalen Green's father, if I have my facts straight, hashtag Mike Gundy, played high school ball together at Washington Union High School in Fresno, California.
Dragon Squatch would love that because he's a big DeSean fan. I'm in high school. I can attest
you know
that.
Who wasn't? Jerry Sloan. Rest in peace.
That is also correct. Just Shannon Anderson replacement. Go follow the Barker at Barker or at the Buster and Bark. Bus and Barker.
Two S's in bus. B-U-S-S.
B-U-S-S. Bussing. Bussy.
Do we want to talk more Philippines World Cup or Summer League?
That will have to be off air. Go bet on Summer League and Philippines World
Cup.
Oh,
you got a hot date tonight.
With betonline.ag, proud sponsor of Hitting the High Notes. Yeah, I have a hot date with them with work here. So, but yeah, so we'll.
Hey, you know. Fall in love with your work and you'll never work a day.
I keep hearing that. I'm at age 30.
I don't.
Hashtag eat culture.
Yeah, eat culture. At age 38, I'm still working on it. So,
no comment.
Yes. bodyguard princesses, my life might be okay. So, for Jared Barker and Gets It Justin, we'll see you guys next time.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.